Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Bill O'Brien starting his press conference earlier today. First one of game week. First press conference before the games actually get underway, or actually the week of a game getting underway. That's how you know it's almost time to forget about everything and play some football. At least I'm sure that's what Coach O'Brien is thinking about all day today. We'll get to some of his comments a little bit later on. Lance Van Auken, the Vice President of Communications at Little League World Series and Little League International, will be joining us on the Lenape Solar Hotline today to recap a historic Little League World Series. Lots of home runs in this one. Most runs ever scored in a Little League World Series game, cumulative. Most RBIs by any one Little League player in a game. Most consecutive home runs in a Little League World Series. So, and of course, the attendance was, as always, fantastic for what is, in essence, a free event, free parking, free admission. All you need to do is get tickets for that they hand out for the championship games on Saturday. And, of course, earlier on, we'll have, earlier on in the month of January and February and March, they actually have the drawing for the championship tickets. So, we'll talk more about that a little bit later on. Later on this week, head coach of the Mount Carmel Red Tornadoes, Carmen DeFrancesco, will be on the broadcast. Thursday will be the big high school day. Friday will be the big college day.
Yes, it will be. How are you today?
I'm well. I'm really good now because Mike Wallace is finally in camp.
He'll catch 50 balls.
He's finally in camp. So there's no more holdout. And the not great news, but still better than yesterday. It looks like DeCastro is headed for surgery on the knee, but not the IR. They expect him to be back this year.
Yeah, I know. I said that yesterday.
I know you did. I didn't doubt you.
Because I said he didn't tear the ACL.
Right.
Right. Because he doesn't have a torn ACL, MCL is much easier to come back from, as is the meniscus.
That's correct. And that's almost exactly what was being discussed earlier today. So I'm very happy about that.
And Wallace will be, he'll be okay. He's not going to be a great, he won't have a great year.
He won't have a great year?
No.
I'll just take an average year.
Average year? average is what you get the last eight games of last year.
Oh, no, I think that's below average.
Hey, well, this, sports a game of adjustments, all right? It's all a game of adjustments. And you have to adjust when they adjust to you.
Well, the Pittsburgh Tribune Review said that he has turned down a reported five-year $50 million offer, which would be a year less than Antonio Brown got, but about $7 million more.
There are certain moments in life where you can price yourself out. I'm not kidding. He's priced himself out. Look, I know he thinks he's one of the elite receivers in the game. Elite receivers do not go into the witness protection program in the second half of the season. As soon as they figured out his game, he went bye-bye.
Well, and the fact that you still have some time left on your contract, you want a contract renegotiation, and you decide that part of the reason, that you're going to hold out if you don't get it, that doesn't necessarily bode well with management. Usually, they usually frown upon that,
and they should. I mean, what's the use of signing a 5-year contract if you're not going to sit there and fulfill 5 years of it?
Well, what's going to happen if he signs you know, an enormous contract and somebody else gets a better contract later on, 2 years into the contract, is he going to complain about wanting to renegotiate again? I'm thinking yes.
Yeah, I know. I've been down this road on contracts, okay? And I can tell you right now, within the past 10 years, I'm not going to specifically say when, I could have gone in and renegotiated my contract and decided not to. I signed my contract in good faith, and then I brought it up when my next contract was due.
Well, that's what contracts are meant to be like.
Right.
That's why you sign them. Right. At least that's the way they used to do it anyway.
So,
Washington Redskins released tight end Chris Cooley today.
Mm-hmm.
Had 428 career receptions, including three seasons of at least 70 or more.
Mm-hmm. Good. Very nice. Well done. Okay. So, yes, that's he's in. I knew you'd be happy about that. I think he's a plus having him back, but this is not the reincarnation of Jerry Rice. I mean, it's not like Jerry Rice showed up. He's still Mike Wallace.
I'm just happy to have, you know, everybody back. Now I guess the only holdout is Maurice Jones-Drew. I think he's in general, in the NFL.
Right. Yeah, this is the difference that he will make. Maurice Jones-Drew will be the difference between them winning two games and four games.
See, I would thought it would be more than that.
What? Have you looked at that team?
Well, okay.
How many games did they win with him last year?
Five.
Well, I don't even know if they won five, did they? I thought they won three.
No, you might be right. I don't doubt you.
Let's see here. Let's look up. Jacksonville Jaguars. In fact, it says here we're the first people ever to go to the site.
We're the first people to ever care what the record was last year.
Well, you know, the funny thing is, Jacksonville, back in the when Tom Coughlin coached them, they were good. They were very good back in the 90s, late 90s. Made it to the playoffs a couple times, made it to the AFC Championship game a couple times. Let's see here. Jacksonville Jaguars. Let's see. 2012 season preview. Yeah, right. Official site. Congratulations, you are the first person to ever click on to the official site. Of, wow, I got season tickets.
Well, that's a great deal. You got to be able to sell those for $10 a game.
Fabulous. All access. I bet that's a deep site. All access to the Jags. Let's see.
You're lining up for that one.
Team, roster, coaches, management, scouts, depth chart. Opposing teams only go to their site. let's see. I don't want to see. Teal. There's nothing like the power of teal. Did you notice that?
The power of teal. Teal is not really an intimidating color.
No, it's not. And neither are the Jaguars.
And neither is light blue for Tennessee. That's another color that's not really intimidating.
No, but you know what? But you have to have. I'll be honest with you. You still have to have something that's a little different than everybody else. Everybody can't just wear blue, black, and red. You know?
I suppose that's true.
And then you have 32. You have 32 of these teams. That, you know, I think that's the issue right there. Let's get out of this site. Let's see.
Because once you're in the site, I think they keep you forever. You're not allowed out.
Yeah, I need to get out of there because history of Jacksonville Jaguars. This ought to be a pamphlet. Actually saw them play Philadelphia once. In Philadelphia.
I was going to say, please tell me it was not in Jacksonville.
No, they won. And David Guerrero was a quarterback. Oh, I see. And they won the game. David Garrard with the quarterback. Eagles did not play well. And to the Eagles fans' credit, they booed the daylights out of them. It was
Here's the fan poll question. You ready for this on their site? After the loss to the Ravens, the Jaguars need to improve what facet of their game the most? Offense, defense, everything. Special team, all facets. All facets, 47% of the vote right now.
Yes. Let's see. 2012 season. How many would Maurice Jones-Drew, the leading rusher in the NFL? In the Mike, let's see, this is the Mike Mularkey era. Let's see, 2011. Blah, 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 blah. 3-8 first 12 weeks. Fire Jack Del Rio. Mel Tucker.
Gone. Yeah, they were 5-11.
5-11.
Yep.
They stink.
Although their white uniforms are much, much sharper looking than the teal.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
That's the uniform analysis.
Very nice. There's a lack of relevancy to that, but that's fine.
We're talking about the Jaguars right now.
I know we are.
When you talk about relevance, all right, we're talking about the Jaguars.
You know, it's really funny, though. You look at Jacksonville, and, you know, they're a small market, right?
Sure.
Because Jacksonville's a small market. Okay. Green Bay's the smallest market in the NFL. Yeah, we don't look at Green Bay as a small market.
That's a good point. That's a very good point.
They should have as much of a chance of winning as Green Bay does because of the way the NFL is designed.
Nobody thinks of them being a small market because of the fact of how many people they draw and the fan base. Well, here's the other thing, though. They have a national fan base. I mean, it may not be as big as like the Cowboys or Steelers or anything, but they have a national... Well, they have a national fan base, though, that I think makes it bigger for them than the fact that they're just a small market.
Of course they do. No doubt. I mean, the Jags got off to a bad start when they put their first helmet out and they couldn't use it.
What was the deal with that? I don't remember that.
Because it looks similar to the Jaguar car.
Really? I don't remember that.
Yeah. Jags football. Yeah, actually in 2007, they made the wild card playoff, beat the Steelers by 2, lost to the Patriots by 11. Since then, 5-11, 7-9, 8-8, 5-11. So with Maurice Jones-Drew last year leading the NFL in rushing, they were 5-11. Now they have quarterback issues, obviously. They had a kid at quarterback. I mean, they have a kid at quarterback. So, yeah, that's Jacksonville Jaguars football. That will be probably the next to last segment we do on that this year.
You're optimistic. If it's the next to last segment, you're optimistic.
Yeah, there may be some point, like when Drew signs or something. We can talk about that. That's fine.
So, I found your helmet. We're going to post that on our website so you can take a look at the helmet, the original Jaguars helmet.
Yeah, it was a silver helmet with what looked like
a leaping
like
Jaguar.
Jaguar car.
Yeah, you're right. A leaping Jaguar.
They were told
Jaguar.
They couldn't use it. They could not use it because the car company said, I think we've copyrighted that. Okay. So, done. 1-800-795-9565. That's the Lenape Solar Hotline. So just go to lenapesolar.com. This day in sports history, by the way. For August the 28th, 1922, the Walker Cup was held for the first time in Southampton, New York, oldest international team golf match in America. President George Herbert Walker Bush, the Walker in his name for his family, is the Walker Cup.
That I did not know.
Football Writers Association of America organized 1941. Mark Spitz captures the first of 7 gold medal summer games in Munich, set the world record when he won the 200-meter butterfly in 2 minutes and 7 tenths of a second. That is this date in sports history. Our number, 1-800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565. Well, some couple of clips from Bill O'Brien from the press conference today, and Lance Van Auken coming up later in the show, and Bob Warming, Penn State men's soccer coach. As we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The car company that helped build America is once again America's number one brand. Announcing the Labor Day sales event at Sunbury Motors with great deals for hardworking people like you. From now through September 1st, get a brand new Ford with no money down, no interest for 5 years, no payments for 3 months, plus up to $2,000 Labor Day bonus cash on a Ford Escape, Focus, Fiesta, Edge, Fusion, Flex, or Mustang, and $3,500 on built-up Ford trucks, F-150 and Super Duty. During this limited time offer, everything is on sale. So get into a brand new Ford now with no money down, no interest for 5 years, no payments for 3 months, plus up to $3,500 bonus cash. For complete qualifications and details, call 1-800-358-8090 or go to sunburymotors.com. The Labor Day sales event ends Saturday, September 1st, so hurry into SMC today. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, proudly serving the Susquehanna Valley since 1915.
Homeowners and business owners, listen up. What if you could make an investment in something that will never lose its incredible value? Invest in the most abundant commodity there is, the sunshine. Lenape Solar can show you how an investment in a photovoltaic or solar thermal energy system can pay you back through saving money and energy with a great rate of return. In fact, an investment in solar energy pays it forward to your great-grandchildren and to the planet's future. Lenape Solar is your trusted local source for solar energy and energy efficiency solutions. Experts in renewable energy legislation and incentives with professional and certified installers. Take the path towards energy independence by investing in solar energy with Lenape Solar. This is Tanya Diddy, and I invite you to schedule your free energy consultation today by calling 570-286-1496, visiting Lenape Solar at 140 South 2nd Street in Sunbury, or find us online at lenapesolar.com.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. You don't like the fact that a cheesy line doesn't pop in my head?
I said during the break, I dare you to say that Saturday is going to be a catfight at Beaver Stadium. You know, the Bobcats, Nittany Lions. And he said, it never even crossed my mind. I said, come on, you need to tell me that you've never had a cheesy line just pop into your head. I didn't say you had to use it.
Nope.
I don't believe it.
Why?
Well, I mean, no matter how much you fight it, once in a while a cheesy line would have to pop through your head. It's just, I would think it's human nature.
No.
I can't say that. I can't in good conscience say that and be truthful about it.
Look, anybody who listens to me do a game broadcast knows I do not ever. I'm just somebody that does not use lines. I don't want, you know, there are things over time, for example, the way I, on a basket, I'll say it's good. But that just happens. Or when in football on a sack, down he goes, or touchdown Penn State. But I don't have a line I give. I just don't do it. Because I just don't. I don't see how. You know, I'm not looking to get call of the day. I'm looking to call plays.
I don't know. I like the poetic. Maybe that's why I like Jim McKay so much.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
I like the poetic opens. But every once in a while, a cheesy one pops into my head.
Yeah, I mean, I try to paint pictures with words. That's what I try to do. I mean, that's what I try to do, is I try to paint pictures with words. Bill O'Brien was asked today at the press conference, as he talked to the media, about what would define success for this year.
You know, again, every time we go out, whether it's a practice or a game, we're gonna go out there with the expectation to win. Does that mean that we're gonna win every single game we play? No. The expectation is to go out there and play your best, play small. Play hard, play clean, respect your opponent, and to do the best you can to win the game. If we don't win the game, okay, then we go back, we review the film, we correct the mistakes, and we get back to practice the next week and get ready for the next opponent. But the expectation, as long as I'm the head football coach here, as it's always been, is the expectation is to go out there and win, and I would say that that would be the same for every football program in America. So that's what we're going to try to do.
He was then asked, did you think this game would ever finally happen?
You know, when you're working with your staff and your players and everybody's working really hard, time passes pretty quickly. So we were just actually sitting around the other day and saying, well, it's here. You know, training camp is over and it's game week. So, you know, I just think it's been a very rewarding for me personally, a rewarding 8 months, because I've got a chance to meet some fantastic people here at Penn State, develop a really good bond with our football team, and we've had our ups and downs, obviously, but our staff's working well together, and we're just looking forward to playing the game.
No question about that. Playing the game, though, brings with it a great challenge, and I don't think you'd have it any other way. Ohio University's a very good football team.
Well, this is an excellent football team. This is Coach Solich's eighth year in the program, and this is probably his best football team. This is a team that was in the MAC championship game last year and has huge aspirations for this year. So offensively, it starts with their quarterback. This guy's an excellent athlete, Tyler Tettleton. He can run, he can throw. He's definitely a dual threat guy, and he just poses a lot of problems. He's definitely somebody that we have to do the best we can to contain. They've got four or five receivers that we think are all very, very good players. They've got a tight end core that we're going to have to do a good job of keeping track of, and they got two running backs there that have a chance to have a really good year for them. So offensively, they're a very, very dangerous team. Defensively, they're very well coached. They're tough. They're sound. They've got a lot of returning players back there on the defense. They do a lot of different things. They don't just line up and give you the same look two plays in a row. So we're going to have to be on top of our game and try to string some plays together and do the best we can on Saturday.
Head football coach Bill O'Brien during the press conference he had today, talking on various topics, including Ohio University, OU, led by Mickey Tettleton's kid, Tyler Tettleton, in Beaver Stadium Saturday at high noon. Bottom of the hour, Sarah Bartlett and the news as we roll on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us on this Tuesday afternoon as we count down to kickoff for Penn State and Ohio University. Saturday at Beaver Stadium, and of course the countdown to kickoff for high school football coming up on. Before we get to that part of it, and a little bit later, Bob Warming, the men's soccer coach, we go to South Williamsport, and a man that I have great respect for, that has been fun to deal with over the years, Lance Van Auken. And Lance, thanks so much. Thanks for the time you're giving us today.
Sure, no problem, Steve. Glad to be here.
Well, you go through this, I'm sure you're exhausted from all of it, but it seems like it was a World Series that brought with it tremendous camaraderie, where a lot of friendship took place in this series, maybe more so than other years.
Yeah, this one really took on a sort of a different flavor, particularly I think early on with the addition of the first team from Africa to play here. The kids from Uganda were a lot of fun for all of us, and it really added something special to this year's series.
Yeah, I saw them at Bowman Field the other night. Everything they did, they were cheered, standing ovations, and they were great. I mean, they had a great. What's going to happen is that they're going to go back there and they're going to tell everybody how great the Americans are. I mean, so that's what they're going to tell them.
Yeah, that's what we hope, and they'll probably get treated like rock stars. And what we hope is that other kids in Uganda, other families in other countries in Africa, see what's possible, and it really is possible, through not just, you know, Little League, but athletics in general. So, you know, that's what we're all about.
The host families, what have they meant to you?
Well, we, you mean host families at the World Series?
Yeah, at the World Series.
Well, we house all the players right here in our, right. in the complex, but we do have team hosts, team uncles that
exactly.
These are ladies and gentlemen that stay with the teams through from start to finish, and you know make sure that they're on time everywhere they need to be, make sure the laundry is done on time, make sure that you know the media isn't bothering them too much, make sure their parents aren't bothering them too much. Those kinds of things. They are a big key to the happiness of the players while they're here so that they can focus on playing ball.
How pleased are you with the approach ESPN takes to it? Because their approach to this is completely different than anything else they do. How happy are you with it?
Yeah, we're very happy. They're a great broadcast partner. They sort of, you know, like we say, they get the joke. They understand what Little League's about, and they truly, when they come here, you know, they tell us it's their favorite event to do because it, mm-hmm. it even though it's a high-profile, kind of a high-octane event, it's really low-key for them because they know that we're all on the same page. It's not, you know, it's just about what happens on the field and having fun, and there's always these great stories that come up every single year.
We saw Central Africa get in with Uganda, as you just talked about. Is there a part of the world where you're starting to get an inkling that maybe they're taking it seriously as well, that they're not in the World Series yet?
Yeah, actually, Australia. You know, we started our first leagues in Australia just a number of years ago, and they've really taken to it. I mean, they've played baseball there for a while anyway, and their national sport is cricket. Cricket, for those who don't know, is kind of a slow game. Might take 2 days. You have to play it on a perfect pitch, and it, you know, and kids play it over there. But it's kind of funny because they've taken to Little League Baseball, and because it's a lot more exciting, they believe, than cricket. So we've got actually hundreds of leagues now in Australia, and I think it's not very long before you're going to see an Australian team in the Little League World Series.
Yeah, I know I've seen more and more Australians in minor league baseball, as an example. I've seen that over time over the last 5 or 6 years. What about mainland China? What about Russia?
Russia, we've had leagues in Russia since the fall of the Iron Curtain, you know, when the Soviet Union went away. And we've got lots of leagues in Eastern Europe, in you know places like Kazakhstan and Poland and Romania and places like that, where after the fall of the Iron Curtain, they not only wanted you know Levi's and McDonald's, but they wanted to play baseball. So, in a lot of ways, baseball is stronger there than it is in some of the Western European countries like France. So, you know, we've seen a lot of improvement there over the years. Mainland China, we've actually had leagues in and around Beijing for a number of years, but they're not really at the point where they're competitive enough to get out of that region. That's a very tough region to get out of because you have to get past Chinese Taipei and mm-hmm. Korea. You know, not to mention some of the other Guam and Saipan, places like that where they still play a lot of baseball. It's tough to get out of that region.
Lance, the reason I brought up this is because the Little League World Series is one of the few that we've seen where they've expanded the playoff format and people love it more. And
mm-hmm, yeah.
Are you at the workable number now?
We think so. We have 16 teams from around the world, 8 from the U.S. and 8 from outside the U.S., you know, you hear people saying that maybe we should expand a little bit more.
Yeah.
As of right now, the facilities that we have to house the teams, we have facilities available for 16 teams. So if we were to ever think about expanding the World Series, we'd first have to figure out a place for the players to stay, and it would have to be, you know, an equal kind of place to what we have now. So I think for the foreseeable future, it's going to be 16 teams.
Yeah, and the 2-week format works well with 16 teams.
It does, and you know the traditional end to the World Series has always been the weekend before Labor Day, and we want to retain that. We don't want to get any later in that because it starts biting into more of school year, and we don't want to start things earlier because then it starts biting into the regular seasons for so many leagues. So, you know, starting on July 1st, ending on the weekend before Labor Day works well for us.
A lot of home runs this year. What do you attribute that to?
It really fluctuates from year to year. Last year we didn't have very many at all. The year before we had a lot. We do have a completely new, different umpire crew every year coming in here. And if you mm-hmm. have a few umpires that have a little tighter strike zone one year than the next, then you're going to see a lot more pitches, a lot more hittable pitches. So a lot of times it's as simple as that. We can't compare, you know, one season to the next. What we can compare is, you know, maybe the last 20 years. Back in the early 90s, we had more home runs per game than we do now. So we think now is sort of the normal number of home runs. So, you know, when they're hitting 60, between 50 and 70 home runs, that's probably about the norm for us.
Right. But yeah, everything goes in cycles. It always does.
Sure does. Sure does.
And this just is the particular cycle they're in. You brought up the umpires, and a couple of years ago, I spoke to the umpires group at Gennetti's. Mm-hmm. And the first thing I did was I just thanked them for volunteering. And I think that's one of the things that people don't realize, that when they go to the Little League World Series, they're the ones taking themselves to the Little League World Series.
That's right. Yeah, they pay their own way. We you know, provide a hotel room, but a place for them to stay and some of their meals. But, you know, they pay their own way here just like they do at any level of tournament play at Little League. And a lot of those guys and ladies have been working 15, 20, 30 years in order to get to this point, and they get one shot at it. They get one chance to umpire in the Little League World Series, and you know, it's by invitation after they've worked all those years and by recommendation from their peers and from the lower-level tournaments. And it's a singular honor for any volunteer umpire.
For you, when you wake up in the day and you get your day going, I don't care where it is, December, August, what is it about your job that you enjoy all the time and the association you have with Little League?
I would have to say it's the volunteers that we work with. There's a million of them around the world, and you know, there's no way at this level we can get to know them all, but you do meet a large number of them when you travel around and when people come to the World Series, and they're just so dedicated at the local level. And you know, we do realize that for a lot of volunteers, it's such hard work at the local level to make it work, but there are such great rewards for them.
Moving forward, what do you consider Little League's challenges to be?
Well, we want to see more growth. We want to see you know, more countries join. We have about 85 right now. We want to see more international growth and certainly domestic growth. We think we're in really good shape. Otherwise, you know, in August on ESPN and a few other networks, we have a total of 81 games being televised, either nationally or a few games regionally. So, you know, the word is definitely getting out.
And the fact is, so many of the coaches end up being mic'd in this. And I think it's given everyone a different perspective compared to a perception. The value of what the coaches have done, especially when they've mic'd, to really push the sportsmanship and the product forward because of how they've handled their young players.
Yeah, and it's no mistake that they say great things, because you don't get to the Little League World Series. You don't climb over all those other teams in your district and section and state and regional tournaments and make it to the World Series and be a jerk. You know, you're by and large, the vast majority of gentlemen and ladies who lead teams here are very good leaders of young men and sometimes young ladies themselves. So, you know, when we mic, we like it when they're mic'd because we know most of the things they're going to say are going to be really good things that people need to hear.
Lance, as always, it's great to hear from you. You are a great representative for Little League Baseball, as you know, and the whole group.
Thanks, Steve.
An organization I think everyone's just very proud of. And you know what? It's just one of those neat things that's really done in the proper perspective.
Yep.
And that's, I think, we all appreciate about it. Yep. Lance, thanks so much.
Thanks, Steve.
Lance Van Auken, who's the Vice President of Communications for Little League Baseball in South Williamsport, one of the true class acts. And we will come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK after this.
Going the extra mile isn't measured in distance. It's measured in pride, integrity, and holding up your end of the deal. And it's delivered in a Ram 1500 truck. With the only light-duty engine lineup to achieve up to 20 mpg highway and better light-duty crew cab residual value than Ford or Chevy. Go the extra mile at the Ram Summer Clearance Event. EPA estimated highway mpg 4x2 model comparison. Actual results may vary based upon ALG 2012 model year forecast effective January through October 2012. Non-sales weighted average of all light-duty crew cabs for each model at 36 months, 15,000 miles per year. Trade in your vehicle and get $7,200 in total values on the 2012 Ram 1500 Bighorn Crew Cab when financed through Ally Financial. Financing for well-qualified buyers. Values include cash allowances and $3,200 package discount. Trade-in vehicle must be registered to buyer for at least 30 days. Package values based on combined value of individual package items. Residency restrictions apply. Take delivery by 9/4.
With over 900,000 products and 31 diverse product categories, Grainger is basically an anything you need supply buffet. We've got everything from safety and electrical products to hardware, hand tools, and more. So you can efficiently purchase exactly what you need from one source, saving time and trouble. And just to be sure, the buffet thing was a metaphor. Please don't eat the stuff. Buy your supplies smarter. Just call, click Grainger.com, or stop by a branch today. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Sam's Club members save every day, but August 29th through September 3rd, you can save even more with over $900 in instant savings on select items. At Sam's Club, discover the season's best for less. Must-have school gear to fresh and easy meal ideas, brand-name home essentials, and more. Instant savings are loaded right on your card. No coupons required. Not a member? Join today and enjoy over $900 in instant savings. Life is better in the club. Sam's Club. Join and save. See club for more details.
Listen, your best family resort in Mexico vacation is calling. Don't ignore it because you think it's too expensive when you vacation at the plush and vibrant Barcelo Puerto Vallarta all-inclusive resort in Mexico. You'll enjoy a breathtaking, family-friendly getaway that's affordable. Situated between the Pacific Coast and a tropical jungle, Barcelo Puerto Vallarta offers newly redesigned suites, offering a private terrace and awesome views. Two-bedroom suites accommodate your whole family with plenty of space and two bathrooms. It's just minutes away from the city of Puerto Vallarta, and the resort has been recognized with the Crystal Award for Sanitation and the Green Globe Certification for Eco-Friendliness. Answer the call of your best family resort in Mexico. Vacation. Barcelo.com.
I'm Sean Carey. Join me to win this amazing honeymoon on Thursday, September the 6th during our Bridal Expo at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club.
All season long, you've enjoyed the view and sipped Granny Z's sweet mint tea and pineapple wines at Shade Mountain Winery. On Friday, September 14th, weather permitting, it's the final open deck night of the season from 5:30 till 7:30 with live entertainment by the Strangers. If it rains, we'll move the party inside. Bring your picnic basket, grab a chilled bottle, and relax with your friends outside during the season's last open deck night. September 14th, Shade Mountain Winery, Route 104 between Middleburg and Penns Creek and in Bloomsburg and Milheim. Also at shademountainwinery.com.
Thanks to Lance Van Auken, one of the true class acts. Cannot say enough about him. I've dealt with Lance now for 15 years. You know, and you don't deal with Lance, you just talk with him because he's just a great guy. He, you know,
he and Steve Keener. Steve Keener is just another one of those guys.
Yeah.
Just great people that are running an organization that gets it. I mean, they get it. They're all about 12-year-olds playing in a competitive tournament, but fun is also part of it. They have it the right balance.
Well, when you were talking with him, I mean, look at all the places they've expanded Little League Baseball too. They had the team from Russia a couple of years ago come into the series.
Yeah.
I mean, it's absolutely amazing that a sport that is considered very American is taken off so well in countries where they didn't even think about playing baseball at any other level besides Little League.
Right. And I think they have actually done more for the sport of baseball actually than the major leagues have done.
Oh, I totally agree with that.
I think they've just done more for it. I think you're seeing you see more of a Latin influence, I think, because of it. It's just much more about it. I think they just do a great job of promoting it around the world.
If you look for something fun to do, go up to the Little League Museum. Not that expensive. I think it's like, I don't know, maybe $5 a person at the most. I don't think it's even that much. But anyway, go up to the Little League Museum. Hit the button on their electronic map when they show where Little League started and the expansion, and then look at how many Little Leagues are sanctioned today across the world. It is amazing. The map just glows after it's done. There's that many teams and leagues.
And I just think it's one of the purely American that has expanded beyond the borders into something that is fun. They've turned it into something special. They've made it an experience. I think they do more for international relations, even though they don't intend to, than I think people understand and realize. And I think it's just, I mean, as I said about Uganda, I was talking about Uganda the other day. I saw those kids at the game the other night, and I met the Japanese kid, and I met the Tennessee kids, and the one in particular I actually talked to more than any other was Lorenzo Butler. I had an opportunity to be around him and talk with him a little bit.
He's got some skills.
And he's a good player. You know, but see, you don't sit there and you do not sit there and look at these kids and think about them as professionals.
That's true. Because they don't have any look at that. You know, they don't even think about that right now.
You never think about a kid. Not one person looks at those 12-year-olds and thinks, boy, what are they going to be like when they're 20? I don't think anybody thinks that. I think whatever happens, happens, and it's luck. Chris Drury, for example, pitches Trumbull, Connecticut to the Little League World Series title. Well, he doesn't end up excelling in baseball. Even though he's a good baseball player, he ends up being a great hockey player, and he helps win the Rangers win the Stanley Cup. Colorado Avalanche had a really good NHL career like his brother Ted. I mean, everyone, you know, people remember Little League lore Cody Webster.
Sure.
Pitched, Kirkland, Washington to the Little League World. But what, you know, but did he go on and have a great 300-win baseball career? No.
No, he became a third baseman, I think, in the minors.
Yeah. You know, it's just, to get to the majors, you have to have a heck of a lot of luck. You really do. When you think about it, you really have to have a lot of luck.
Well, look at the kids that we were just talking about. And, you know, I remember going to the games on Saturday, and the first thing I thought is, wow, these kids are big for 12 and 13 years old. You know, and that's what makes them sometimes better, more dominant players, especially at the league level, because they just have grown into a baseball player quicker than somebody else. When everything is all equal, that's when you find out who's got the complete skill package. Do you know what I mean? When everybody catches up and everybody's on an equal playing field, that's when you find out who's going to go to the next level.
Little League is such where we don't sit there and we think about the next level. I don't watch a game and ever think about those kids in the next level. Everything that we talk about, though, after that, okay, junior high, what are they going to be like at the next level? High school, what are they going to be like at the next level? College, what are they going to be like at the next level? We're always thinking about
you know, what can, you know, projecting them out. That doesn't happen here. You just play. It's fun to watch.
I've seen kids that are 9 years old and 10 years old come in to play what they call, major division Little League, which is what you see up in South Williamsport at championship time, and struggle to even make it on base, and then come in and be a high school standout. And I've seen the opposite.
It just depends. It all depends. I mean, one of the Spikes players was a teammate of Danny Almonte's at one point. So it kills a mess.
Well, that whole thing didn't help the situation. I mean, his name was tied with everything, and it wasn't his fault. His name was tied with a cheating image, and it wasn't even his fault.
No offense, okay? But, okay, two parts, okay? The adults that pulled this off are just, they're cheaters.
Right.
All right? But he also knew how old he was.
Now, I'm not disagreeing with you, but I don't blame a 12, 13, or 14-year-old kid that because somebody sat down and told him it was a good idea and that he could get away with it. Somebody had to twist his arm. I don't know that maybe he did go in willingly.
Kevin, I knew I was 12 years old, okay? I knew when I was done at 12 that I had to play in the bigger field at 13, okay? I didn't need my parents to tell me where to sign up, because I knew I was 13, and I had to go to the bigger field, okay?
Yeah, I get it.
I knew how old I was, okay? Now, does he bear responsibility? A little bit. I mean, the adults are the ones who should have told him you have to go to the bigger field, okay?
Right.
That's their responsibility more than anything else, but also at the same time, look, the kid knew he was 14.
Okay. Maybe he didn't, because he didn't really find his birth certificate, so maybe he didn't know how old he was. Maybe everybody told him he was younger. I don't know. I just have trouble blaming.
Look,
I
put
any blame on a 12-year-old.
Kevin, when State College National played them for the Mid-Atlantic Championship, okay, that's who they beat.
Yes.
Okay, they beat State College National, all right? Okay. That entire tournament, do you know how many people told me on the phone that kid's 14 years old? This is before they played him.
That's disturbing. And then the kids that really got punished are every team that beat him, especially the State College team, who never got the chance to walk on the field at Williamsport.
I mean, Kevin, the phone calls I got from people before they played him in the championship game said, they have a kid here that's 14 years old. I don't know how they're getting away with it.
That's bad.
Everybody else knew.